We're studying from the book of James, and we're studying about putting our faith into action. So many times we read the good word of God and we listen to the word of God, but we want to put the word of God in action. And that way we can not only change our lives, we can change the lives of those that are around us. And when we change our lives and change the lives of those around us, guess what? We can begin to change the world. Amen? And that's what we want to do. Today we're going to talk about temptation. And I want you just for a moment, I want you to say as a group together, I am tempted. Now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are tempted. Now just for everybody, we are all tempted. And I want you to understand that, because here's what a lot of times people think. They come into church and they see all these lovely Christians sitting there. They are singing the songs. They are praying the prayers. They are partaking of communion. And they're staying awake for the sermon. But guess what? Those people who seem to have it all together are tempted as well. And James is wanting to talk to us today about being tempted. The idea here, and I've got it, the Greek word, which is translated trials and temptations both. And I want you to see what it says in James chapter 1, verse 12. And this is the King James Version. Blessed is the man. And the idea behind blessed this is somebody who is happy. And it's not a worldly happiness, it's a heavenly happiness. So when you see the word blessed, a lot of preachers will say that's happiness. Well, happiness is part of it, but it is a heavenly happiness. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive, and I want you to underline these words, the crown of life. You see, this is a prize that you get for enduring temptation. And the idea behind that prize is that it is life itself. It is life itself. This is not something you're going to receive alone in heaven. When you endure temptation, you're going to receive a prize here on this earth, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Well, I want you to understand that there are two things in this word. Number one is trials. And those trials come from God. And a lot of times we will have trials in our life and they help us grow. But the second part of that is temptations, and they're from Satan, and they cause us to sin. So you need to know the difference between the two. Sometimes you are dealing with a trial, and that is something that's going to help you grow. And sometimes you're dealing with temptation, and that's something from Satan that will cause you to want to sin. Well, how do I overcome temptation? What does James teach us about overcoming temptation? Letter A is you need to be realistic about things. You need to be realistic about things. I heard of an optimist who went to hell, and the devil went to go check on him, and the optimist was there in hell, and he was saying to himself, it's not hot, and I'm not here. We need to be realistic about life. I want you to underline the word when tempted, because it doesn't say if tempted. Because all of us are tempted at some point. It says when tempted, not if. And you need to understand that we need to be realistic about the fact that I am tempted, you are tempted, we are all tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the first part of the verse says, no temptation has overtaken you, all of us, except for what is common to mankind. I want you to underline the words, what is common to mankind. Because a lot of times we think that our temptation is just something we're dealing with. But all of us deal with temptation from time to time. And our temptation is common to man. Now, but I want you to understand this. when you are tempted, you have not sinned. I want to say that again because I want you to know that, because when I was growing up in the church, I used to think because I was tempted, I was in trouble. A lot of times thoughts will still come into my mind and I will think, where did that come from? How did that get in my mind? Well, it's coming from Satan. You are a human being and you are going to be tempted from time to time. You may be tempted to do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, or act the wrong way. And whatever it is you're being tempted, that is not the sin. I want you to hear that, because in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest." This is Jesus. "We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one," we have Jesus, "who has been tempted in every way just as we are." And I have often thought, how can that be? But I know the Word of God says it. Jesus was tempted in every way that you are. But it goes on to say, yet he did not sin. So if Jesus could be tempted in every way that I can be tempted in, it can't be a sin to be tempted. Letter B, be responsible. Be responsible. I think we have a trouble with being responsible for things. I heard Will Rogers said one time that there were two great moments in American history. One was the passing of the Buffaloes, and the second was the passing of the buck. And I think a lot of us don't want to take responsibility for what's going on. I have heard Christians say things like, "This is just the way God made me." Or, "I can't help myself. This was the way I was born." Look at what the Scripture says here. "No one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." In verse 14, it calls us our own evil desires. I heard of a preacher. His wife went shopping one day, and she came home with a very expensive designer dress that cost $500. And her husband looked at her and said, "Honey, you know we don't have that kind of money." And she said, "Well, I was just walking around and I looked in the store and I saw this dress, and the devil said, 'That dress is going to look good on you.' And so I went into the store and I put the dress on, and sure enough, the dress looked so good on me." And the preacher said to her, said, "Honey, you know how we handle that. We say, 'Satan, get behind me.'" And she says, "Well, I did, and he got behind me, and he says, 'It looks good from back here, too.'" You see, it was his own evil desires. God is not tempting us. Letter C is, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for temptation. A lot of people think because they're Christian, because they're coming here on Sunday morning, because they have Christian friends, they listen to Christian radio, they're not going to be tempted. But I am here to tell you that every person in this room at some point will be tempted. So we need to be ready. He says, "But each person is tempted." And I want you to underline each person. We've got to be prepared. "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. And verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived." And one of the problems I think we have from time to time is I think we think we're better than everybody else. When I have seen people from time to time that have become a part of this church, and in some way they've messed up really bad, and it's maybe become public, or it's come become it to light that they have done something wrong. And I've seen it not only in this church, but every church I've ever been a part of it. And the people that become so judgmental over what that person did. Look at what it says here. So be careful if you are thinking, oh, I would never behave like that. Let this be a warning to you, and underline this, for you too may fall into sin. I want you to understand that there's no sin out there that we cannot fall into, so we have to be ready for it. It reminds me of a fellow by the name of Bobby Leach, and I know you don't know who he is, but I read about him because I was looking into taking Nancy to the Niagara Falls. And I was reading about Niagara Falls, and Bobby Leach decided that he was going to get in a barrel and go over the falls. And he did it. He completed it. He went over the falls, landed. They rescued him. He did not have a scratch on him. But a week later, he slipped on an orange peel and broke his leg. We need to be ready for things, whether we think they're going to get us or not. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, and it says, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And I want you to just write over that, just cross out not aware and just say, we are aware of his schemes. And there is a process that Satan uses to cause us to sin when he tempts us. How does temptation work? Number one, desire. The very first thing is desire. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. And desire in and of itself is not a bad thing. We are having one of the best classes I have been a part of in some time that Andrew Wilson is teaching, and it's on counterfeit gods. And it is so good. And the thing in that I'm getting out of this is there are a lot of desires that we have from time to time. But if those desires get out of control, they will become gods to us. It's an excellent class, and I encourage you to be here. The second thing that he does is deception. Dragged away by their own evil desires, entice. The idea behind dragged away is a snare that would come along and capture an animal. And the word enticed in there has to do with the idea of baiting a hook to catch a fish. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that sometimes my desires come away and I get snared in those desires. I start thinking about those desires. I start thinking about what it is I want. And then somehow Satan is able to bait the hook, so I take the trap. And you need to understand that he is using deception. Now, up until this point, it's all going on in our minds. And the mind is a spiritual battlefield where you're going to have to fight. But what Satan does there next, it causes us to be disobedient. We turn our thoughts into actions. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but all the TV ads, all the ads you see on Google and Facebook and all those places, all of those ads are there to capture your mind and allow you to do something that they want you to do. Because none of these things happen. It's one thing to look at something and say, wow, it would be nice to have a shiny new vehicle. But it's another thing to go out and buy a vehicle you can't afford, amen? And the ads are getting you to think that way so that you will make decisions that you will regret later on. Number four, and this is the final, death. And death here, and I want you just right beside that, death here is separation from God. Death is separation from God. I have seen this so many times in my life personally where sin has come along and it has separated me from God. It says sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I love Adrian Rogers and I read a lot of his stuff. It says sin will take you further than you wanted to go, cost you more than you wanted to pay, and keep you there longer than you wanted to stay. So how do we win over this temptation? Is letter D, is to be refocused. You need to be refocused. Now, I'm sure that you've heard this before, but the conscious mind can only handle one thought at a time. This whole idea of multitasking is just switching your mind from one task to another. That's all it is. But your mind can only think of one thing at a time. They call it a cognitive bottleneck if you try to think of two things at the same time. And so you need to refocus. And what he does here in James is he shifts what he's saying. He talks about temptation. He talks about the evil desires. And then he says refocus, because he says every good and perfect gift is from above. Because sometimes when temptation comes, we think, well, I have to have this. I have to be this. I have to obtain this. And James says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. And I love this, who does not change like shifting shadows. Underline change like shifting shadows. Because I have seen so many people in their lifetime want certain things and they want it so badly. And then when they get it, it seems to shift to another direction. But every good and perfect gift comes from God. Look at what it says in Philippians 4:8. Because if we refocus and we think on the right things, the temptation is going to leave us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I'm going to just say this for some of you who are struggling with sin. Some of you not only need to change the things you think about, but you need to change the people that you're hanging out with. Because you want to change your life, you need to change your friends. I've done a lot of work with people who have drug and alcohol issues. I've spent time with them trying to get them to understand the changes they need to make in their life in order to have just a good life, not a godly life, but a good life here on this earth. And there are so many people that I have seen that struggle with addiction in some way or another, and they don't get rid of their friends, and guess what happens? They go back to their old way of life. And for a lot of us, we need to change our friends in order to change our life. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals." Now, I want to say this to you. Martin Luther said this. He says, "We cannot stop the birds of the air from flying over us, but we can keep them from making a nest in our hair." And when it comes to temptation, we cannot stop temptation from coming, but we can keep it from being a part of our mind on a daily basis. Letter E, you need to be reborn. You need to be reborn. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And I want you to underline the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruit of all that he created. And the idea here is that the word of truth is going to change us. It's going to change who we are. If we are in the word of God, I'm going to tell you this. This is just me. It may be different for you, but just me. But when I am in the word of God And when I am studying the Word of God, and when I am in prayer, guess what? I am generally not tempted. I cannot think of a single time that I have been in the Word of God that Satan has come along and tried to tempt me. You want to be reborn. Now, I'm going to tell you this, because you got to hear this. Nobody in this room has it all together. I don't care how good they look. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care how many scriptures they know. None of them have it all down yet. And this idea of being tempted and this idea of being sinless is not something you're going to overcome, but it is a journey. And when you fall down, you get back up. And hopefully, while you're down there, you pick something up that you can take with you. And we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. But it's our job as Christians to keep fighting the battle until the day comes when Jesus makes us perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind." And then it says, "God is faithful." Underline those words, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Two last things, practical tips. Number one, you need to find a community. You need to find a community. One of the reasons why we have life groups around here is because we want you to find a community. And if you go to one life group and the house smells funny and they're doing crazy things in there and it doesn't fit your lifestyle, you can go find another life group. You got my permission. But the idea is you need to find a community. And if you don't already have a community, build one. And I know that's not easy for all of us, but one of the things we can do is we can invite people who are like-minded into our lives. A lot of times what happens in the church is we spend more time worried about what other people think of us than we do about how we need to grow. We wonder, or if they find out that I watched this movie or I had this in my home, they're not going to like me anymore. They're going to be judgmental. Well, let me tell you this. People are going to be judgmental no matter what. But if you get in the right community, that community is going to support you and not condemn you. And that community is going to love you. And that community is going to help grow you. I disagree with that too. Number two, get into God's Word so that it can get into you. Get into God's Word so it can get into you. We need to spend time in the Word of God. And I am not talking about you reading God's Word so you can check off a box. I'm talking about you reading God's Word so that it can get into you. You were never intended to do this life alone. Christianity is not a solo sport. You need a team. And that team is the people that come around you and the people that encourage you. That is the people that are beside you in battle. There is a thing called communitas. And that is where people form a special bond over difficulties. And communitas is something that happens in a church. Communitas is something that happens when you're in a community of believers and one of them has a hard time, maybe a death in their family, maybe a sickness that is causing a lot of trouble. And what happens in that moment is there is a special bond that is there. I learned of Communitas when I was working in Mississippi after Katrina. There was a guy there that took me and the kids that were with me into his home. And we were cleaning up the debris and cutting trees and things like that. And every morning we got up and his wife made us breakfast. And then we would go out and we would cut trees all day. And he was an elderly gentleman and he really couldn't do a lot, but he was with us. And we laughed. I'll never forget the first night I was in there, we slept on a gym floor and they gave us air mattresses. And I believe that it was intentional, but I got one with a hole in it. And I woke up the next day and I hurt all over. But I didn't show anybody because I had teenagers there and I wanted them to know that I could still beat them if I needed to. And that afternoon, after we worked all day, he looked at me and he says, "Is there, where are you guys staying?" And I told him, he said, "Well, would you like to come stay at my house?" And I said, "Well, I'd love to, but I've got all these kids with me." He said, "Well, you can bring them all." And I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." And then he looked at me and he said, "We don't have indoor plumbing." And I thought, maybe the gym doesn't sound so bad. But I had already said yes, and the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And when I got to his house, it was a very nice house with lots of indoor plumbing. And we became friends over that. And up until the day he died, he and I would talk. Even though we'd really only been together on this earth for a short time, he and I would talk like we had been together forever. That's what you get in community. That's what you get by being in God's Word. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song. I used to hate the invitation because it was the same thing over and over again. But I love the invitation now because I think about the fact that you may have heard something, you may have experienced something in prayer or in singing today that's touched your heart, and in some way you need to make a change. It may be that you've never been baptized into Christ and you want to put on Christ in baptism so you can walk this new life with other Christians. It may be that you are a Christian and temptation's gotten the best of you and you've separated yourself from God. We're here to pray for you. It may be that you're just struggling. And during this invitation, you can lift up your voice to God or you can come forward and let us lift up our voices for you to God. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?